This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, so I want you to take a second and just mentally transport yourself to right now, today.
February 2026.
Exactly, February 2026. And let's say your water heater just exploded. It is freezing outside. You need a plumber and you need one immediately.
Oh.
Be honest with me. Do you open a web browser, type in plumber near me, and then spend 20 minutes scrolling through 10 different blue links?
Absolutely not. I mean, that feels, it's archaic.
Right.
It's basically like searching for a phone book in a pile of recycling. Nobody has the patience for that anymore.
You just don't do that. You pull up your phone or, you know, you talk to your kitchen counter and you say, get me a plumber who can be here by noon.
Yeah.
And the AI doesn't give you a list of 10 guys to vet. It gives you an answer. Just one answer. It says, Mike's Plumbing has an opening at 11:30. Want me to book it?
And that shift from giving you a list of options to a specific singular command is really the most violent disruption local business has seen since the invention of the internet.
It's terrifying. I mean, if you own the business and you aren't Mike, you're in trouble. But it's fascinating if you're just watching the machinery work. So today we are doing a deep dive into the concept of local search in the age of AI.
Which has completely rewritten the rules.
It really has.
Yeah.
We're looking at why perfectly functional, profitable businesses are suddenly just vanishing from the digital map, the complete death of the old map pack, and the absolute dominance of AI-generated recommendations.
It's a completely different game with different physics right now. And we're basing this deep dive on a really tactical article by Janice Ramos. She's an SEO specialist at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
And the piece is titled, Why Your Business is Disappearing from Local Search and How to Fix It.
Right.
And our mission today isn't just to sort of scare you with how fast technology is moving. We need to explain the actual mechanics. We need to look at this transition from search engines to what Ramos calls answer engines.
We really need to define this phenomenon she calls the AI slump too.
Yes, the AI slump. And then we'll walk through her local search blueprint to figure out how to get out of it.
It sounds super technical, and we will definitely get into the weeds. We kind of have to, but honestly, it's existential at this point.
It's about survival.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about whether you exist to the machine or not. Because if the machine can't reach you, you don't exist, period.
So let's set the stage properly. For the last decade or so, if I ran a pizza shop or a law firm, my absolute obsession was the map pack.
Oh yeah, the holy grail.
You know, you search Google and you get those three little red pins at the top of the page. Mm. If I was one of those pins, I was basically printing money.
Being in that three pack meant you won the visibility war. But Ramos makes a really sharp observation about the landscape today in 2026. She points out that high value clients, the people with disposable income, the ones you actually want, they've largely migrated to AI assistants.
They aren't browsing.
No, they are asking.
So the whole consumer behavior has shifted from search and compare to command and fulfill.
Precisely. And here's the real friction point. An AI assistant, whether it's Gemini or ChatGPT or whatever's integrated into your OS, is designed to be efficient.
Right.
It is not designed to be fair.
That's a great point.
If you ask for a plumber and it gives you a list of 10 options and says, good luck, well, that's a bad user experience. The AI has failed its primary directive to actually be helpful.
It feels lazy on the AI's part, right? Like I ask you for a plumber, not a research project.
Exactly. The AI wants to be the hero. It wants to say, I found the best one, here it is. So we move from a list of 10 down to a list of one.
And that is what Ramos calls the preferred answer.
That's the preferred answer. And the math there is just brutal. I mean, if you were ranked number 4 in the old world, you still got clicks.
Sure, you're on the first page.
You could scrape by. But in the AI world, if you aren't number 1, you are zero.
You're effectively invisible.
You do not exist.
Hmm.
Ramos calls it losing market share to a machine learned preference.
Yeah.
The algorithm has this huge bias towards certainty. It picks the winner and everyone else is just noise in the database.
That brings up the financial aspect, which I found genuinely shocking when reading through the source. You could have a business owner, let's say a local dentist, spending $15,000 a month on traditional digital marketing.
Ads, SEO, the whole traditional package.
And getting absolutely zero return.
Yeah.
How is that functionally possible?
Because in the old model, that money was buying visibility in a very crowded room.
Hmm.
You were paying to shout, look at me, I'm over here.
Right.
But today, if that money isn't buying you the status of preferred answers, you aren't even in the room. The AI filters you out before the user ever sees you.
So it's like paying for a massive billboard in a tunnel that nobody drives through anymore.
That is a perfect analogy. It's right. Capital evaporation, the absolute definition of inefficiency, because you are optimizing for a search behavior that just no longer exists for your target market.
Okay, so we've established the terror here. Businesses are disappearing because they aren't the single answer. Now, Ramos coins this term, the AI slump. I really want to get under the hood here. What is physically happening in the software to cause this slump?
The AI slump is basically the gap between how we used to organize the internet and how AI actually reads the internet now. It's a transition from keywords to entities.
Okay, stop right there. Entities. Because I hear keywords and I instantly know what that means.
Right, you stuff a word on a page.
Exactly. I put best pizza in Chicago on my website 20 times and just hope Google notices. But entity sounds kind of like science fiction. What is the actual technical distinction there?
This is probably the most important concept to grasp today. Old school search engines, think like the Google of 2015, were essentially giant matching games. They counted strings of text.
Okay.
So if you had the literal string of letters, P-I-Z-Z, on your site, more times than the other guy, and some people linked to you, you ranked higher.
Simple enough, it was a dumb text search.
But AI models don't just read text strings. They understand concepts. They build what's called a knowledge graph. To an AI fan, pizza isn't just a five-letter word. It's an entity.
Meaning it understands the context of the word.
Yes. It knows it's a round, edible object, usually of Italian origin, associated with cheese, tomato sauce, and dinner. It knows the deep dish is a subtype of pizza. It understands the actual thing itself and its relationship to other things in the real world.
So the AI is trying to build a map of reality, not just a map of web pages.
Exactly. And this is exactly where the slump kills businesses.
Mm.
The AI builds a massive web of connections between these entities. So Mike's Plumbing is an entity.
Yeah.
24-hour service is an attribute of that entity. Located in Chicago is another attribute.
I'm following you.
But if your information is fragmented, let's say your Facebook page says you close at 5 p.m., but your website says 24 hours and Yelp says you're closed on Sundays, the AI immediately spots a contradiction.
It gets confused.
It sees data dissonance. And unlike a human who might just pick up the phone to call and check the AI, just calculates a confidence score.
A confidence score.
Yes. Every single piece of information has a probability attached to it. If the AI is only 75% confident that you are actually open right now, it will not recommend you.
Because it can't risk looking stupid to the user.
Exactly. That is the trust gap. The AI cannot risk its own reputation by recommending a place that might be closed or out of business. So it plays it totally safe. It skips you and goes to the competitor whose data is pristine, where the confidence score is 99%.
Wow. So the slump isn't necessarily because your business is bad or your service is lacking. It's literally because your data is confusing to the robot.
You could be the absolute best plumber in the city, but if the AI can't verify that with near 100% certainty, you lose to the mediocre plumber who has perfect schema markup and consistent data across the web.
That is just frustratingly binary.
Machines are binary. You're either a verified fact or you're an unverified risk.
So the ultimate goal, according to Ramos, is to move from rented ad space where you pay to force your way into visibility to owned authority.
Right. You want a digital footprint so clean and so mathematically consistent that the AI treats you as a fundamental fact, not a suggestion.
Okay, so how do we actually do that? Janice Ramos lays out this local search blueprint, and she breaks it down into three pillars. I really want to go through these carefully because this feels like the actual instruction manual for surviving this entire shift.
It is. It's the survival guide.
Pillar number one is verified trust signals. Now, my brain immediately goes straight to reviews, but I feel like it's a lot more nuanced than just get 5 stars.
It's way more nuanced. The AI looks for real-world proof that you are active and legitimate right now. Yes, reviews matter, but Ramos emphasizes two very specific metrics within that, velocity and recency.
Explain velocity in this context.
It means the speed and the consistency at which new reviews come in. So imagine you have 500 five-star reviews. That sounds great on paper, right?
Sounds amazing. I'd hire them.
But what if the last one was posted in late 2024?
Then it looks like a dead business. Or at least a business that used to be good, but who knows now?
Exactly. To an AI, that data is stale. It translates to low confidence. Whereas a business with only 50 reviews total, but 3 of them came in this actual week, signals a high confidence active entity. The AI knows this business is alive today.
Interesting. So you can't just rest on your laurels. You need a constant drip feed of activity to prove you still exist.
You can never stop. And the other crucial part of this first pillar is mentions on authoritative local platforms. This is basically reputation by association.
Like what? The local chamber of commerce kind of thing?
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Or industry associations. If the National Association of Plumbers website officially links to your website, that is a massive trust signal. The AI looks at that and thinks, well, the big established authority trusts this little entity, so I can trust it too. It validates your existence in the knowledge graph.
It's almost like high school social dynamics. If the cool kids talk to you, you become cool by default.
That is unironically exactly how the knowledge graph works. Authority is contagious.
Okay, moving to pillar two. This is where the source article gets a little jargon heavy, so I'm going to need you to translate. Structured entity data.
This is the technical backbone. And honestly, this is where most local businesses fail completely.
Rano says the business must be machine readable. I'm just imagining a website that looks like raw matrix code. What does this actually mean for a normal business owner?
Okay, think about how you naturally browse a restaurant website.
Mm.
You look at a PDF menu, you squint at the weird font, you find the prices buried in some paragraph describing the lasagna. You're a human, so you have a visual cortex. You can figure it out.
Sure, it's super annoying, but I can do it.
And AI absolutely hates that. It does not want to read a paragraph, and guess what the price is? It wants structured data. It wants code hidden in the background of the site that explicitly tells it item equals lasagna price equals 22 USD ingredients equals beef cheese pasta availability equals in stock.
So it's basically labeling the data with little digital post-it notes that only the robot can see.
Yes. It's called schema markup.
Yeah.
And here's why it matters so much. Ramos notes that if the AI cannot parse your service area, your pricing, and your availability instantly. And I mean, in milliseconds, it moves on.
It just doesn't struggle through the PDF at all.
No, it completely ignores it. Computing power costs money. If the AI has to burn energy figuring out your messy, unoptimized site, it won't bother. If you aren't speaking the robot's language, the robot ignores you. Better optimized competitors win by default, simply because their menu was machine readable.
That brutal efficiency again.
It's not about being the best restaurant in town. It's about being the easiest restaurant for the AI to understand.
Which leads us lightly to pillar three. And this one honestly hurts my brain a little bit because it goes against literally everything I learned about marketing in the last 20 years. Zero-click authority.
The paradox.
Yeah.
This is definitively the hardest pill for traditional marketers to swallow.
Ramos describes it as winning the conversion before the customer clicks the website. How do you win if they don't visit you? How do you make money if they never see your carefully designed landing page?
This is the real aha moment of the whole deep dive. You have to stop thinking of a website visit as the ultimate goal.
Okay, explain that.
Think about the user experience again.
Yeah.
You ask, your AI is the Italian place on Main Street open, and do they have gluten-free pasta?
Right.
If your local search blueprint is working, if your structured data is perfect, the AI answers you immediately. It says, yes, they're open until 10 p.m., and their menu lists three gluten-free pasta options. And you say, great, book a table for two.
I never went to the website.
Never clicked.
Yeah.
But the business got the customer. That is zero-click authority. Your highly optimized local profiles answer the question directly within the search interface or the voice chat window.
So the website becomes almost like a back-end database for the AI rather than a storefront for the human.
For a huge amount of transactional local businesses, yes. That is exactly where we are right now. The lead happened, but the traffic didn't.
This requires a massive shift in mindset. Because if you're looking at your Google Analytics and seeing your traffic drop off a cliff, you might panic. You might literally fire your marketing guy. But if your revenue is actually going up,
then you're winning. You have to aggressively decouple traffic from success. Traffic is a vanity metric in 2026. Revenue is the only metric that matters.
Ramos actually includes a breakdown in the article comparing traditional local SEO versus this new local search blueprint. I think it really helps to visualize the contrast because the rules have flipped so completely.
The differences are stark. It's like comparing a horse and buggy to a self-driving car.
Let's run through them. First, the goal. The old goal was ranking number one in a list.
The new goal is becoming the preferred AI answer.
Measurement. We used to look at those monthly keyword reports.
Which, let's be honest, were mostly nonsense anyway.
Oh, look, you rank for this obscure term nobody actually searches for. It just made consultants look busy.
Right. So what is the new measurement? Revenue-based attribution. Spend X, make Y. Did the AI recommendation directly lead to a booked appointment? It's simple math now.
Content strategy is next. The old way was keyword stuffing.
We're the best pizza in Chicago because Chicago pizza lovers love our Chicago pizza.
Yeah.
It was painful. It reads like a broken robot wrote it.
So what is the new way?
High information gain and entity signals. You just give the facts clearly, authoritatively, and marked up with the proper code. It's much drier, but it actually works for the answer engine.
And finally, lead flow.
Old way was rendered through high ad spend. As soon as you stop paying Google, the leads stop immediately. You are a hostage to the ad platform.
And the new way.
Owned through brand recognition. Because you've methodically built that trust equity with the AI, you keep getting recommended even without the ads running. It becomes an asset you own, not a service you rent.
Trust equity. I really like that term. It sounds permanent.
It is the most valuable asset in 2026. It's basically the reservoir of confidence the AI has in you. Every verified review, every clean piece of data adds to that equity over time.
So the burning question, if I'm a business owner listening to you right now, and I'm currently paying Google or whoever thousands of dollars a month can actually.
According to Ramos.
Yes.
Yeah. That is the ultimate goal here, to systematically stop the bleed. If you build enough organic trust equity, you transition away from renting your growth to fully owning your lead flow.
It has to be music to the ears of anyone paying those massive bills. But it sounds like it's not just a switch you flip overnight.
No, definitely not. It's a systemic rebuild. You have to scrub and clean your data. You have to get the review velocity flowing. You have to implement all the schema markup perfectly. It takes time to build that high confidence score. But once the engine is actually running, it works while you sleep.
The article also touches on a couple of common questions that I think are worth highlighting before we wrap up. One is simply, why did I disappear from Google Maps in the first place? We touched on this, but give me the 60-second diagnosis.
Inconsistent data. Somewhere on some random directory you forgot about 5 years ago, you have an old phone number or a different suite address. The AI found it got confused, couldn't resolve the entity, and dropped you entirely to protect its own reputation.
Brutal. It actively punishes sloppiness.
It demands total precision.
And the other question is about tracking success. If we aren't counting clicks anymore, how do we definitively know it's working?
You have to track the action itself. Did the phone ring? Did the BookNow API get triggered? Mm. Did a credit card get swiped? You need a dashboard that connects your visibility directly to closed revenue, not just to eyeballs on a page. If you are still paying for clicks, you are paying for ghosts.
It's so interesting how this all circles back to the user experience at the end of the day. We started by saying we don't search for lists anymore. We just want answers.
And businesses really have to internalize that. Stop trying to be a result and start trying to be the answer.
So let's zoom out a bit. What does this mean for the person listening right now who doesn't own a business? Just a regular person trying to find a good taco spot.
It means you need to be highly aware of the filter. When you ask your phone for a recommendation, you need to understand that the answer you get isn't necessarily the subjective best in a human sense. It's the one with the best entity authority.
So the best restaurant might literally just be the one that explained its menu to the robot the clearest.
Exactly. We are completely filtering our reality through these machine-readable layers now. We are letting the algorithm curate our physical world based entirely on who has the best metadata.
Which brings me to a thought I've been mulling over since we first started talking about zero-click authority.
Go on.
If the ultimate goal is to satisfy the customer without them ever visiting your website, I mean, if the AI handles the menu, the hours, the booking, the questions, does your website even matter anymore?
In the traditional sense, maybe not.
Is it just a vestigial organ at this point?
I really think the website as a visual brochure for humans is dying. It's becoming a data feed. The human interface is the AI assistant. The website is just the dark warehouse in the back where the data lives organized on shelves for the robots to pick from.
So we're entirely moving from designing for eyes to designing for algorithms.
It certainly looks that way. The future is highly readable, but maybe not by us.
Well, on that slightly dystopian but incredibly efficient note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure unpacking the future with you.
Thanks for listening. Check your local listings, or better yet, ask your AI to check them for you. We'll see you on the next deep dive.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.